Welcome to another Carlo and Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, it's finals time coming up, mate.
It is. There's a lot of talk locally and also obviously across the state. And you think of AFL, our biggest sport, there's already a lot of talk about finals and who might be there and who's going to miss out and who's going to win the grand final. Now, I come from a different sport, really. So we had big meets, but no really like lead into big finals, and especially the grand final. Whereas you obviously played in a number of grand finals. So what's it like playing in the final series, making it through the grand final?
Well, it's part of the culture of playing Australian sport. And the way footy finals are played, normally it's a top four or a top five, depending how many teams are in the competition. And you strive to play finals footy. That's your main aim each season. And then, of course, the premiership, the grand final. It's a special time of the year that can be best explained when you say, when you win, it's something memorable you'll never forget, and it's a happy memory. But when you lose, you never forget either. But it's a terrible feeling. It's an empty feeling, but that empty feeling drives you to go forward. And the amount of times I played in a losing grand final and then the following year played in a winning grand final, I think's indicative of a lot of football teams in all sorts of grades, that losses, you have to lose a grand final before you win, is a good analogy that seems to follow the sport quite a bit.
It's interesting you say that. I was listening to the radio on the weekend and they had Paul Roos and Wayne Carey talking about the 96 grand final, and really interesting stuff they were talking about, the lead into the grand final, the day, and obviously the result. And Paul Roos, who I think, I like listening to him, he seems like a really smart guy, but he said, you know, it was his best day and his worst day of his football life. He said, you know, because he talked about the build-up, like prior to the parade, you know, getting ready that week and the whole lead into the grand final, like preparation, running out in the field for the first time. That he said he just couldn't even put to words what it was like when the whistle blew and that first bounce. But he said, you know, and he talked about the game, and obviously Wayne Carey did as well, and North got in front and won by 40-odd points. But you know, to be that mix of emotions, and you see when you watch the grand final every year, like they're just playing until that last siren goes, and you see that dichotomy, don't you? There's one team are jumping for joy, crying, hugging, and the other guys, you just tend to see them sitting on the slumped, you know, all those dreams that they've had have disappeared in that short time.
Well, I remember, it's interesting, that was North Melbourne, and They'd lost about three or four preliminary finals leading into that success. And Sydney hadn't been in a grand final since the old South Melbourne days back in 1933. And the previous week in the preliminary final, the scores were tied in the Sydney game, and Lockett kicked a point, probably the most famous point ever kicked, other than the St Kilda one that won them the flag in 1966. And it got him in the grand final. And the excitement with two teams that have relatively little success playing off for the premiership, it was just magic for even non-supporters of those two clubs.
And Roosie made that point. He said, like, at half-time, so many of the guys were so fatigued from the lead-up. Like, they were just emotionally spent. And you think, to make it through that way and then have all the pressure that goes on during the week. But what about local stuff? Like, we talked earlier in the season, we talked to sort of about how people were going mid-season in our local leagues in football and netball. So how's that panned out? Did we get it right, or were we way off the beam?
Well, we're a little bit off the beam, because like Gawler Central started the season off really well, and they haven't won for something like about 8 rounds or 9 rounds or something. So they're second or bottom at the moment. So they're not going to make the finals. You've got Barossa undefeated, although having said that, they had a draw with Gawler Central, which started their demise, actually. They haven't won since then. And they've had a couple of wins by a goal or so. And recently they beat New Iupta by 3 points. So, you know, they're undefeated, but they've had some close ones. And New Iupta is a big improver. They were down near the bottom when we spoke. And they've won all these games, and they almost knocked off Boston recently. They're sitting in fourth spot now. Kapunda, a little bit of a surprise. They keep winning. They're second. So Barossa and Kapunda have the two top spots.
Are they locked away? Like, can they lose those spots, or they're...
No, they're locked away. Barossa will finish top. Kapunda will finish second. South Gawler, who started the season really well with something like 4 wins. Now, they've fallen off a little bit, only won a couple of games since, but they're still hanging on to third spot. So really, they only need to win maybe one more game of the last couple of rounds, and they'll make finals because they've got a fairly healthy percentage. But anything can happen because you've got teams like Tanunda and Freeling and Williston, although Williston have lost the last two against Tanunda and Angaston, the bottom team. So they're almost out for the count. But Freeling and Tanunda still have a bye. So anything can happen. It depends on whether South and Uwe can win at least one more game to secure a finals position.
So still plenty of teams in the running.
Yes.
Netball?
Netball, well, it hasn't really changed too much. The top three teams, or even the top four, have swapped and switched a little bit. You've got Boston District have beaten Kapunda and South recently, so they're top. But only a game or so behind is South and Kapunda. Kapunda have got a draw up their sleeve, which they had with Gawler Central. Even Gawler Central is still a faint chance of getting the double chance, but it's those four teams are fighting it out. Then it's the rest. It's Angaston and Williston and Freeling. They're all sort of down a bit. And Williston had a good win. I think they beat Kapunda, but then they lost to Angaston. So that put Angaston above Williston a couple of games out, so they can't make it. Freeling were a chance, but then they lost to Newry Upton. Now, Newry Upton have only won two games, and that was both against the bottom team, which is Tanunda. And then to beat Freeling, that sort of finished them off as well.
Okay. Now, what does history tell us? I mean, is it always going to be in the Barossa Gawler League, is it going to be the top teams that win, or does history tell us there could be some upsets when we get to the grand final?
I think history tells us that when a team gets on a roll, like for instance, about a decade ago, Tanunda won four flags in a row. They had a couple of undefeated seasons in there, so they were always going to be hard to beat because of the finals experience. And that's what happens with dynasties. They have that experience in the finals, which carries them through. But even their run came to a stop when Barossa District came from the first semi-final and knocked them off. And again, Gawler Central have been one of the top teams over the last 5 years or so, but only have one flag to show for it. And they lost to Barossa District by 5 points a couple of years ago, which was the only loss they had all season. And then, of course, last year, Barossa sort of knocked them off again, and Central were undefeated until that grand final. So, yes, anything can happen, but finals experience counts for a lot.
I'm going to put you on the spot, and we'll come back to this. I want a winner. Or actually, no, that's probably not fair. Who's going to be playing in the grand final of footy, and who do you think will be in the grand final for netball? A grade.
That's very tough. It is very, very tough.
You're because, the man to answer it.
Yeah. It's going to be... Boston District look the good, so I think in the netball and the footy that they should be in the grand final for both those sports. Then it's a toss-up. Kapunda are reigning premiers in the netball, so you can't write them off. South Gawler, at their best, can beat Kapunda and can beat most of the team. So, and Central have surprised with some of their wins, so it could be anyone. But my prediction would be that the team that wins the first semi-final will have an advantage in the preliminary final against the team that has lost. So it kind of favours in this type of competition, in a close competition where you've got four fairly even teams, the team with the momentum that comes off a win normally will go through to the grand final. But of course, the team that wins the second semi has a huge advantage with the rest and sitting back and letting the other teams bash each other around, so to speak. So I would suggest that it may be Barossa and South Gawler.
Barossa, South Gawler.
Yeah, in the netball.
In netball.
Yeah.
And football.
Football, well, I like the way Newry Upton have been playing recently, and I see them as a potential grand finalist against Barossa. And I've just got this funny feeling that if Newry Upton keeps everything together, they could be one of those upset teams that go through and win the flag.
Okay, so we've got that on tape. We'll come back to it. Now, speaking of dynasties before, SANFL, like our doggies, our home team, the Bulldogs.
Yes.
Where are they? What's the story with them this year?
Wow. I mean, I followed Central District all my life, and there's been so much heartbreak through the first 40-odd years until they won that first flag in 2000, and then they had that dominant period where they had 12 grand finals and 9 flags. There's only two players left that played in premierships, which is Trent Goodwin and Kyle Jenner, but the coach is still there. So a lot of the philosophies.
So Roy Laird.
Yep.
How many years has it been now?
Well, 2003 is when he started. So.
And how, like, even prior to that as a player, like, how long has Roy been? How long has he been a part of Central District's football club?
Since the early 90s.
And he's just they've signed him up again.
Yes, he only ever signs up for 1 year at a time.
Okay, so that's pretty that's almost unheard of, isn't it?
It is. Someone said to me today, yesterday or recently, that that he's equaled Jack Odie, but no, Jack Odie had 21 years at Sturt, and of course Roy next season will be in what is 16th season, lucky 16. So,
there's so much more scrutiny, do you think, now on coaches? I know we got a bit off the track, but it's just an interesting thing. It doesn't seem to be the case. There's so much scrutiny on coaches and players now, especially with like social media, and it's almost 24 hours. So it seems unusual that coaches stay in one spot. But I mean, back in 50s, 60s, it was 70s, it was a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Central District has a reputation for supporting their coaches, and many coaches have had their 3 years, 4 years, et cetera, et cetera. Roy has won 7 premierships as a coach, so I think he deserves the opportunity to continue. The game's evolved over the last 6 years, 7 years. Norwood and West LA brought that very defensive mindset, whereas I don't believe a lot of the players at Centrals and other clubs like that had the fitness base to run forward from the defensive huddles that they created. And they've sort of opened up game plans and changed it around with young kids coming in. So it's been a couple of seasons of evolving the game plan. And of course, losing the majority of the premiership players doesn't help either. But having looked at this season, Central Districts have played some really good football for half a game, for periods, long periods of time, but they've blown a lot of games. They were 40 points up against Norwood early in the season and lost that game. They were 27 points up against Glenelg late in the third quarter, and they lost that game. They lost to Northrop Prospect when they got an early lead. Those games, those losses will haunt Centrals if they don't make the finals. But the most exciting thing about following Centrals has been the way they've come home, and they've beaten Port Adelaide, which is second atop, and they've beaten Norwood, and they've beaten Glenelg, who are fifth. And going into the last round, if Central District can beat Eagles, and which is top, and they've just secured their top spot, and West Adelaide can beat Glenelg, Centrals actually will make the top five with an 8-win, 10-loss season.
That's wow. And that's the thing. I mean, if Centrals make it, which it sounds there's a possibility, you just couldn't write them off based on their recent history.
Momentum's a fantastic thing in the finals footy. If you've got experience and momentum.
Was the Western Bulldogs showed last year.
Yes.
Coming from eighth to win. So.
Well, they were helped a lot by the fact that they had the week off going into the final for everyone. So everyone was fresh, whereas previously, when a team finished in the bottom four, they were playing hard footy right through. So it's almost like everyone started again. That's the first time they ever did it, and it sort of worked wonders for Western Bulldogs last year.
Well, let's hope the Doggies do make it through. That'd be exciting. AFL, I mean, there was a big match on Friday night, Sydney and Crows. Sydney got up by 3 points. Obviously, Sydney had a great start, but Adelaide obviously played pretty good footy throughout. They got in front, I think, by 9 points late in the last quarter, and then Swans got over the top of them. So there's been a lot of talk last week about people worried about Sydney. They're coming home very, very hard. And that discussion actually about having that week off, if that they're in great form, they're going to have that week off, and other people are saying they're going to be almost unbeatable in the final series.
I tell you, the team that sort of has taken my imagination is Richmond. I mean, they're a team that hasn't had any success since, 1982 or something, 1980, something like that. So it's good to see them as a potential top four team. The Crows, sort of, they've been the best team all year, but they've been vulnerable. They've lost games where people haven't expected them to lose. So it's going to be I'm thinking to myself, if the Crows play Richmond in the first week of the finals, that sort of it's a bit of a detriment to Richmond. It would be better if Richmond play someone else if, you know, if the Richmond type closed grand final has to eventuate. That's sort of something I would like to see, but obviously you can't write off teams like Sydney and Western Sydney and these types of teams either.
Geelong. So the top four at the moment, Crows, Giants, Geelong and Richmond after their massive win over Frio, 104 points. And then we've got Port Adelaide, Sydney, Swans, Melbourne, Essendon and West Coast, St Kilda and Bulldogs probably knocking on the door of the eight. Essendon have it by percentage at the moment.
Well, obviously Essendon just need to win and they secure that their position in the finals. But I just think it's one of those types of things that let's wait for the first week of the finals to see how the teams are playing, who's playing, if there's any injuries, and then it will be easier to make a prediction.
Well, it is an exciting time. Finals coming up. I think netball, there's all the different divisions and age groups, so there's going to be a lot of clubs. Most clubs will have a team in the finals, which is great. And footy's, I'm not sure about footy. There's different, not the same number of actual teams, but hopefully every club will have a team playing in the finals.
Just a colour. The colour at all football. I remember as a kid going to finals for the SNFL and seeing the big floggers that they used to sort of with all the crepe paper and all the beanies and the colour it adds to the excitement and all the banners around the ground about barracking for their teams and the voice of the crowd, it's uplifting. And in BLG football, it's no different. The colour, it's spectacular. You've got almost every club in the competition represented at some level in the grand final, whether it's netball or the footy. It's very rare that a club isn't represented somewhere. And to see the happy faces, I mean, even to a certain degree, the teams that lose, if they're honourable losses, they're disappointed. But in the BLG, it's almost like a very strong community feel. And it's really good to soak in the atmosphere. It's a sensational experience.
Well, September is a special time, and so let's wish all the teams in finals good luck, and let's encourage all of our spectators and community to get out there and support their teams.
Thank you. This is another Carlin Lode Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.